today we're going to continue our talk on the open chair. The open chair. We talked about it last week, and we're going to conclude it today, as we talked about the importance of always keeping the open chair a priority of our church. This message last week and this week really has a lot to do with the DNA of who God is calling Destiny Church to be and how we are structuring our church. And so I want you to get, I hope you're hearing as much as today about the heart of who we are, as much as where we're going, okay? And so remember last week we talked about the story of the person who comes out, the server who comes out to serve samples to the people already eating their food at the food court. We're at the mall, we're to a food court, and you see someone who's probably making minimum wage, and so they're not really into their job. They're already thinking about what they're going to do after work, and someone's to go out there and serve these samples, and they go out to the first person they see, and they give it to people sitting right out in front of the restaurant who are already eating their particular sandwich or meal. I mean, the logo is right there on their cup, but yet they're like, would you like a sample? No, I'm already eating this. And so instead of taking the time to just to walk out a few steps further and be out there in the traffic flow where everybody's passing by trying to decide where they're going to get the meal and not say, hey, would you like to try one of our samples? Well, yes, I would. Well, that was good. I think I'll go try that. It makes a lot more sense, right? But we as the church, this is the way we look many times, that when we come to the Lord's table, that we come to the Lord's table, we receive, and then we get up from the Lord's table, we're feeding samples to people who are already eating, and we're not getting out beyond the table to go out and give samples away to people who need to taste and see that God's good. People who had never ate from the Lord's table, people who had never entered God's house, people who had never tasted of the Lord, we've got a responsibility to get out there and be the sample and give away the samples of Christ to those who are not eating from the Lord's table. This is our responsibility. And so we talked about this a lot last week, that we've been given the responsibility, the table. We find in Scripture where the table was oftentimes used in many teachings in Scripture. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. One of my favorite things we see that Jesus ate at the table was some of the greatest sinners in the world. I mean, don't you love that? I love it that Jesus was found eating at the table with the most hated people in society. Some of the biggest sinners. Not some of the closet sinners like you and I. I mean, everybody knew these people were sinners, right? These were the people that were prostitutes. These were the people that were cheating people and taking away from their taxes. These were the people that everybody knew were the greatest, quote, quote, sinners of the community. And Jesus was found eating with these people. Oftentimes we see he was at the table eating with them. And we don't always hear what happened at the table, but we see that when they got up from that table, they were changed. Jesus, what? I'm going to do everything. I'm doing everything wrong. I'm going to turn it around for good. One meal with Jesus. Zacchaeus. Jesus, I'll go out and pay back everything I ever cheated anybody. I'll do it all. Why? He had one meal with Jesus. How many of us have been changed because we've eaten from the Lord's table? We've had a meal from the Lord's table. We should get up and say, Jesus, I see now. Jesus, I've been nourished now. Jesus, I understand now. This is what you was talking about when Jesus said in John 6:35, that I am the bread of life. Look what he says. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever drinks of my cup, what? Will never be thirsty. We see this, that Jesus is bringing us to a table. And once we eat with him, we should want to say, God, now, I got to get out. Hey, have you been to the Lord's table, man? Darren, have you been to the Lord's table? Man, friend, I can tell you, I ate from that table. It's the best table ever. I mean, I've seen people get more excited about a new restaurant coming to town. Look it out there and wait in line for an hour and a half when the new restaurant comes to Joplin. We all know this to be very true, right? I don't even mess with it until about 3 or 4 months. All the people get away. People are waiting in line for an hour and a half to get into the new restaurant. They're excited about the new thing. That's the same excitement we should have spiritually about, you know what, man, you got to come check this out. You got to see. You got to meet a man who changed my life. When everybody else called me the prostitute and the whore of town, Jesus looked at me and said, daughter, whoa. Jesus looked at me and said, son. Jesus looked at me, and even though he saw every sin in my past, he looked at me and called me into greatness. You eat at that table, nothing else will ever satisfy you. And so we see this happening where Jesus was bringing people to the table, and we are learning to eat from the Lord's table. But we should always remember to keep the open chair for the guest. Oh, it's at the table we come and feed. And it's at the corporate table that we learn to come and feed with Jesus. It's at the corporate table that we learn to come and taste and see. Jesus said, I'm the spiritual carbs you need, right? That's what he said. He said, I'm the bread of life. So turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is my spiritual carbs. The right kind of carbs are good. They're not all bad, okay? Jesus is the good carbs. Because it gives me spiritual energy so I can get up and do the will of the kingdom of God. Do the will of the Father. I get spiritual nourishment. I get the bread of life. I drink from the cup of life. I learn to feed from the Lord's table so I can get up and serve others. See, we've got to learn that we've got to move into people a spiritual maturity. So spiritual mature people understand about entertaining guests. Spiritual mature people understand that when a guest comes to your house, you make it about them. Remember us laughing last week when I talked about when you have guests come over, your wife gets out plates she had never used before? Last week I mentioned the charger. And some of you are like, Pastor, that was so cool. Your wife puts out chargers so people can charge their phone while they're eating. For those of you who don't know, I actually have a class, certified class, from the University of Oklahoma College Education on etiquette, and I understand what a charger is, okay? In high school, I needed to have credit for something, and I went ahead and took an extra credit from the University of Oklahoma on etiquette. Took me 2 days, and I got it. I learned about stuff that I never knew or ever used again, but still, I learned about chargers. It's a plate for a plate. I've been told it helps keep the plate warm, if the plate's warm. I don't know. For whatever reason, it's a plate to hold your plate, and it's decorative, and it's nice. So now you know. But she uses things like chargers you ain't never seen before. When your family has a meal during the week, it's going to be a casserole, right? Glasses don't match. You're lucky to get ice in your cup, if you're lucky. Someone's got a plastic fork. Someone's got a fork from the camping tray. Someone's got a fork from the cafeteria at school. Company comes. You go to the store and buy matching forks for the company. Come on, is it? And we have an appetizer, and we have salads, and we have soups, and we have a meal, and we have a dessert. And you're like, who are you? Why? No, it's because the guest comes first. And we go out for the guest. And that's what we want to have at Destiny Church. We want to go out for the guest. We want people to know that they are welcome here at Destiny. Even if they're not a Christian, we want people to know they are welcome here at Destiny. People who are looking, that they are welcome here at Destiny. And that's what we talked about a lot last week. Because spiritually mature people understand this. They are understanding that, look at this, spiritually mature people is about learning to feed yourself and about surrendering your chair to Jesus. The spiritual mature understand. I learned to feed myself on the Lord's table. I learned to open up the word of the Lord. I'm learning to surrender my chair to Jesus. I'm learning to nurture myself through the words of the Lord, the scripture. Listen, there's a lot of great Christian authors out there and books. Some of them are good. Some of them are not that great. But one book you can always count on to be solid and be 100% truth and life-giving is the Word of God. Don't get away from reading the Word of God. We need God's Word daily in our life. And one thing I'm learning about as I'm on this journey in my close to my mid-40s. Don't laugh too hard. I'm not there yet. Mid is 45. I'm still 44, right? So I'm not there yet. But as I'm getting closer to my mid-40s, I'm trying to eat better and learn to diet and proper exercise. And I'm trying to do better in my life. And I'm up and down like a roller coaster many times. And one of the things I'm finally figuring out is this, is that really, you know, fad diets don't work. They don't work. They have short results. But then when you get off of them, you go right back. And usually you gain the weight back really fast. Or you'll even put on more weight because you overindulge. And P90X and P90X Extreme and Insanity. I mean, everything is to the next level. And we buy into it because we want to look good. And we want to be healthy. But the more I'm learning is that it really is not that hard. It really isn't. What it comes down to is simply learning to eat clean. You eat clean. You understand what that is? You look it up and understand eating clean foods. I'm eating more food than I've ever ate in my life right now, and I'm losing weight every week. Why? Because I'm eating clean food. And one of the things that's been really cool is that I'm also realizing that it's not about how much exercise I do. It's about just a little bit of cardio, a little bit of cardio, and a little bit of strength training. And I'll have better results than going in and trying to cram it all in 2 days. But if I stretch it out over 5 days and just do a little bit, 5 out of my 7 days, if I do a little bit of cardio, 5 out of my 7 days, if I do a little bit of strength training, that I see the results I want. And it's the same way that in our life we got to learn to come to the Lord's table. He gives me the clean food that I need for my life. Therefore, spiritually, I'm in shape to go out and to burn those calories by doing the work of the kingdom of God. He gives me the energy I need, the strength I need, the things I need to go forth and do the kingdom work. But it comes from eating from the Lord's table. Mature Christians understand this. It's about learning to feed yourself and about learning to surrender your chair to Jesus. See, new believers, this is open chair for them. And when they accept Jesus, they realize, all right, it's about surrendering my chair to Jesus. No longer am I in control, but God, I'm putting you in control of my life. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit who you placed in my life to lead me and guide me. I'm surrendering my chair to you. I'm giving up my life to you. And then the spiritual mature understand this. How do you know if you're walking in spiritual maturity? You're learning to feed yourself. And what else? Let me give you three things. They're really three easy ways to measure whether or not you're being spiritually mature. Spiritually mature Christians share Jesus with others. They serve the body of Christ, and they sow your time, your talents, and your treasure into the kingdom of God. Spiritually mature people realize I eat from the Lord's table, I get up, and I share Jesus with other people. I take the samples, and I share them. Spiritually mature people realize I serve the body of Christ. I get connected to a local church body, and I serve. I use the things God's given me, and I sow my time, talent, and treasure to the kingdom of God. Way! So you're saying to be spiritually mature, you just got to give everything to God? Yeah, I am. Well, that's just right. The church just wants my money anyway. I knew that. No. Look at Scripture. We only see one time in Scripture where Jesus asked a person to sell everything they have and to give it to the poor and come follow him. The rich young ruler. And the reason why was because this man loved his things so much more than Jesus. Jesus said, this is an idol in your life. Get rid of it and come and follow me. We don't see any other time where he's asking us to sell everything we have. He's not asking us to sell everything we have and to give it away. But what he's saying is, I want you to surrender everything you have for the kingdom of God. So that says, God, my car belongs to you. God, my house belongs to you. God, my job, I do it as unto the Lord. My marriage becomes unto the Lord. My children, they belong to you. Everything I have, I surrender to God. Mature Christians are understanding this principle. I share, I serve, and then I give away my time. I give away the talents God's given me. And I give away anything, my treasure. I give it into the kingdom of God because you understand that's the only thing that will stand and last the test of eternity. Everything else will rust, decay, and fade, and rot, and not last. but the kingdom of God will last forever. And so what am I doing to make an eternal difference in investment to further the kingdom of God? Mature Christians are understanding that. We see a thing now in the body of Christ where church attendance used to, you could count on the core of the church to be about 80%. 20 years ago, 80% of your people come to church almost every Sunday. 80% of people who called church a home, they were there every week. You don't have to worry about them. Unless they were gone on vacation or had a sick kid, then they were at church. People understood that. Nowadays, we see that number going from 80% to maybe 50% at best. And we have people who come to church every 4 to 6 weeks and say, yeah, that's my home church. But they only go every 4 to 6 weeks. That's why Easter explodes and Christmas explodes in churches across America. Because all the people, let me tell you this, if all the people who say Destiny Church is their home came on the same Sunday, we couldn't hold them. Because we have so many people coming. You know, it's something we see. That's why I came back and I began to teach about staying planted and the process of importance of staying planted. How can you ever grow at the Lord's table if you're getting up, unplanting yourself, and then going out, planting yourself somewhere else, then come back, plant yourself here, then pull your roots up, go somewhere else, and come back and try to plant them again? You're never going to see any fruit in your life unless you stay planted. I love the fact, you know, if I asked Pastor TJ, Pastor TJ, are you married? He says, yeah, I am married, Pastor Gene. That's great. He goes, well, you know, sort of. I'm kind of sort of married. What do you mean, sort of? Well, you know, me and Courtney were married, but, you know, except for when we get in a fight. And then I got this other girl over here I kind of like, and so I kind of talk to her once in a while. Then I have an ex-girlfriend that I go to. She really understands me better than me and my wife. First of all, his wife was saying, oh, boy, you are married. And we would say, what are you talking about? You're crazy. Either you're married or you're not married, right? See, either we're planted or we're not planted. Yeah, man. Yeah, I belong to Destiny, or I belong to this church, and this is my church. Well, yeah, I go about every 6 weeks. I'm there. Every 2 months, I'm there. Christmas, Easter, and 3 other times a year, and Mother's Day, I'm there. No. He's like, no, that's not being committed. That's not in a committed relationship. And so I thank God that we're seeing those numbers increase at Destiny, that so many of you are stepping up and seeing the importance of staying planted and seeing that I've got to be consistent in order to grow. So give yourself a hand for that. Some of you guys are catching this and understanding this. I love that series we did a few years ago. We're going to do it again sometime in the future on staying planted. And so we see this process happening. So when guests come, we put out all the good stuff. We do everything for the guest. Here at the church, we've got different chairs, right? Last week, we spent most of our time talking about the open chair. This is the chair, the person we're trying to reach. So let's go through the chairs. Chair number one, we see this happening. And chair number one becomes the chair for the non-believers. These are the people who are seeking. They haven't made a decision to surrender their life to Jesus, to accept the work of the grace on the cross that we were talking about this morning. And these are the people who see you and I and say, you know what? I see their life changing. I don't know if it's for me or not, but I know I need to change. I know there's something that's not filling the void in my life. I know that the things I'm tasting of and the table I'm eating from, man, it's not satisfying. And so maybe there's something about this table that they're going to, I want to come check out. And they come and they're checking out the Lord's table. They're checking us out and they're checking out. And we got this one responsibility to present Jesus and to bring them to the table. How are we doing that? We got to remember that we should keep that in mind, that I believe if we are doing our job as a church, a new believing church, and a church of the New Testament, that we'll have 25% of people in this room that are coming every week are people who are seeking and saying, is there a better way? Is there something to this? I see them and I see their change, and I want to just come and see if it's for me. We should have that kind of numbers coming in, that people are wanting to come and just see, checking it out. Is there anything really to this? So we always keep that in mind. That's why when I speak, I don't speak over their head. Even when I'm speaking on deep spiritual principles, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, give me a way of cooking this meal and presenting this meal in a way that everybody in the room can at least understand the seed that's being sown into their life. And they can take this meal and begin to use it and let the Holy Spirit digest it into their life. I can't speak spiritual TBN over their heads and expect them to get it. I've got to speak a language they can understand so that the Holy Spirit can use that to touch their life. I can tell you, Destiny Church is full of people that I hear it all the time. People come in and say, I've been to church in and out all my life, visiting churches. For the first time, I'm understanding what's being taught. For the first time, I'm seeing. And that's the reason why, is because we're keeping this in mind. It's always the focus. We're always keeping in mind the open chair. And then chair number two, we surrender our life to Jesus, and we take the step now to becoming a new Christian. People who have been born again, adopted into God's family. And now they're sitting at the table with you and I, and they're eating meals with you and I. And they're eating corporate meals together. They're coming here eating of the word of the Lord together. If God's the owner of the house, if he's the owner of the restaurant and we are serving the food, then, man, I'm the chef, right? I'm the spiritual chef. I'm the spiritual emerald. Bam! There it is. Let's present it. There you go. I'm bringing the word of the Lord and present it to them. And we're all eating of the Lord's table together corporately so that we have the energy to go out and do the kingdom of God. New Christians, we move from this chair to this chair. But the problem is this, is that as soon as a new Christian moves from the seeker chair to the believer chair, we know that Satan is going to attack them all out. How many can testify that when you gave your life to Christ, that Satan fought you really hard against that decision after? We know this to be true, right? He doesn't like that. And so he's going to come against him and say, Satan's going to say, oh, that wasn't real. That's not for you. Oh, Jesus loves everybody else, but you're not worthy. Oh, your sin was too big. Oh, you didn't mean it. Remember what you thought last week and you hadn't changed? Oh, you're a hypocrite. You're not a Christian. Oh, look at all your friends. They're having fun. You're not having fun anymore. Oh, you're getting up, going down Sunday mornings instead of going to the lake every week. You're doing this, you're doing that. And Satan's going to come against you. We have got to be spiritual parents. We need spiritual Amber Alerts that when our kids come up missing, that we're missing, hey, time out. Let's go protect our kids. We got to be looking out for our spiritual babies, our spiritual kids that are here. A couple of weeks ago, I took my two youngest kids, my youngest son and youngest daughter, up to Kansas City, and we went and watched on a Thursday night. Went and watched one of the Big 12 tournament games up there. Watched OU play Iowa State, and as most of you know, we're big OU fans in our family. I didn't say the championship game. All you KU fans are like, oh God! Any KU fans in the house? Okay, God loves you. God loves you. That's all right. We'll give you basketball. You're dominating. We get it. Woo! KU, Rock Chalk, you guys are everything in basketball. We know that, okay? So we went to this game and didn't know it when I got tickets, but we get tickets, we sit down, and we are the only OU fans in our section. Everybody else is Iowa State fans, and we're playing Iowa State that night. Front of us, back of us, side of us, we're there. So I'm like, God, you're going to have to really help me tonight. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to get in any kind of altercation here, you know? Not that I would, but just in case somebody wanted to. I'm going to keep my cool down. I'm not going to let anybody distract me and bother me. I got my kids here. We're just going to enjoy the game. This is going to be fun. And the game starts, and this guy sitting right behind us starts yelling, and he's yelling really loud. And then the ref made a few bad calls, which I agree were probably bad for him, but we liked it. But anyway, and he starts telling the ref about some things, and he starts using language that would make a sailor blush. He started using words I ain't never heard before put together like that. And I've heard a lot. I live with Melody Beebe. Come on now. Just having fun. So I'm like, you know, God, I don't want to get in a fight here, argument, and confront this guy, and then get in a fight, and my kids have to lead the game. So I'm just going to keep my mouth, help me to be, you know, keep my mouth shut. So I'm there, and I'm keeping my mouth shut, thinking, this guy will settle down, the fans around him. He starts using language that becomes inappropriate, not only for children, but especially for women. And I'm like, my blood starts to boil, you know, and I turn around and give him this look, because the death stare, like, dude, knock it off, you know. And he calms down for a while. And then later on in the game, as the game gets heated up, he gets into it again. And he starts calling the ref this and that and this and saying this about him and saying things that are just, you know, vocabulary that was rough as you could ever think about was coming out of his mouth. And finally, my blood got to here and I jumped up to my feet. And I turned around and I looked at that guy and said, buddy, you say another word just like that, I'm going to shut your mouth for you. I had my kids right here. I said, I got my daughter right here. Had some class and quit making all these other fans look bad. I sit down and all the Iowa State fans gave me a standing ovation. It was crazy. They're like, thank you. Somebody stood up and told this guy to shut up. How embarrassing. You know, and the reason why, you know, I had my kids there. I had my daughter there with me. I wouldn't let this guy talk this way in front of my daughter. And so I lost my pastor's hat. And I became dad. I'm protecting my children. See, we got to have the same tenacity when it comes to saying, God, we want to protect our children. And when I see other people, other Christians attacking other Christians, baby Christians, no, get away from my baby Christians. Leave them alone. If you want to help them, if you want to instruct them, if you want to support them, come all day and help. But if you're going to tear them down, I will knock you in your spiritual teeth. Why? Because I'm called to protect them, and so are you. We're called as spiritual parents to protect them. I saw this post the other day about a famous star. Selena Gomez is a young star. You guys, many of you know her. She starred as a childhood star on Barney. You love me, you know, I love you, you love me. And then it went to Disney Channel. And then now she's an adult star. And she's a pop person. And she's got some hits on the radio. You guys, everybody here who's a teenager or has teenagers, kids in your home, or young adults, you know who she is. She has recently started attending Hillsong Church in Los Angeles. And she's been going. And I guess she's attending. And she wrote a song on her new album called Nobody. And she came out and said, I wrote this song because of what God is doing in my life. And basically the words say that nobody will ever love me like you. And she said, I wrote this about Jesus, that no guy's touch, no guy's kiss, nobody will ever feel me. No high I ever have will ever replace the way, God, that you are changing me and loving me. And she came out, and they brought her out. They didn't tell the concert that she was going to be a surprise guest. And she came out, and she shared that short song. And she wrote the song for God, and she sang it. And then someone posted a video of it on the internet. And you know who began to attack her? Christians. The Christians coming out attacking her. Now let me tell you this. I am a long, long ways from saying this person is going to be a role model for my daughters, okay? I don't like the way she dresses. I don't like some of the things she does. She's a nice girl, but there's some things I would not put her as a role model for my kids. And I'm here to say, just because she's saying she's a Christian now, doesn't mean I'm saying that she's a role model, okay? That's not what I'm saying. She's far from making mature decisions yet as a Christian, if she really is a Christian. But before she ever has a chance to go from here to here and to begin to mature, we have Christians that are crucifying her over the social media network because she's not living over here already. Well, she sang a song to God at a concert. Well, did you see the photos of her cover, her album? Did you see this? And did you see what she was wearing? You know the movie she played in 2 years ago? And you know, and I'm like, what would happen if this girl had a chance to grow and she began to move from this chair to the chair of spiritual maturity? What kind of influence could she didn't really be have when she maybe becomes a place and where she could really be a person of influence and a person to look up to? How many generations and people could she influence? A lot more than you and I. But we will attack baby Christians and tear them down because they're not acting spiritually mature. But yet, if you attack my kids because they're not acting like adults, you and I are going to have a problem because they're just kids. When they're kids, I don't get upset when they don't act like adults. When they're teenagers, even though I expect them to start maturing, and I get frustrated when they don't mature the way I think they do, I'm not disappointed when they make a mistake. Because you know what? I know it's a part of growing up. I correct them, I love them, and I instruct them. But I'm not like, oh, I can't believe you. Oh, you blew it. No, they're my kids. It's my job to help them grow and to nurture them. And I know they're going to go. I hate it when people expect children to act like adults. You ever been in the restaurant when that's happened? Doesn't that make you mad? When some kid who is really not doing a lot, but maybe being a little loud because he's a kid. Can you believe that family brought that kid to the restaurant? I had five. And so I used to go up and say, God bless you. I understand. Or you're on a plane. You know what? I've learned. Take some noise-canceling earphones with you on a plane if you don't want to take a chance of hearing a baby cry. But babies cry, and it's going to happen. What do you expect the mother to do? To get up and get off the plane in the midair? No, we see, understand that that's the same kind of attitude that sometimes we can have as Christians when we expect people who say, oh, I'm a Christian now, I'm trying to follow Jesus. Maybe they are, maybe they don't, I don't know yet, but I know one thing. Boy, I want to keep pulling them here. I want to keep pulling them here, and I want to encourage them to get there. And just because they get to this first chair doesn't mean I put them up as a Christian idol. Oh, they're perfect now. Oh, let's go support everything they do. No, that just simply means this, that, man, I'm praying for them. And I think it's good that they are opening up their heart to God, and they're looking, and they're seeking, and they're trying. And we got to quit crucifying and killing and attacking the babies, instead come along beside them and nurture them, protect them, and support them. Because see, that's the chair one. The chair two tells me to do the same thing. Chair three. Look at chair three now. So I go from the non-believer seeking to giving my life to Christ, new Christian, and then I go to the third chair, which is the mature believers. They are spiritual parents to new believers. See, if you consider yourself a spiritual Christian, then you should be a mature spiritual Christian, then you should be looking out and helping people support the new Christians. You're looking out for them. You're supporting them. You're calling. This is why I love our section leaders, because it's just another way of touching people when they're coming in. Just another way of people saying, hey, where you been? Are you okay? Is something going on in your life? The better we get at learning these things and touching people, the better we can do at help protecting our young. It's our job to protect them. Let's love them. I read a quote this last week that I posted on my timeline a couple years ago that says, we need to stop expecting non-Christians to act like Christians, and we need Christians to quit acting like non-Christians. No, we move to spiritual maturity, and we help them, protect them, and help them take the journey of spiritual maturity. Spiritual mature people. Hebrews 6:1 says about maturity, it says that we are to leave the elementary teachings. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. He expects us to grow. He expects us to grow in our relationship. The problem is, I know people who have been saved for 20 years, and they're stuck right here in this chair still. They're still stuck in the new Christian's chair, and they've never taken the steps to move on to spiritual maturity. And then I know people who've been saved for 2 years, and they're acting more mature than the people who've been saved for 20 years, because they're learning what it means to serve, to sow their life, and to surrender everything they have to God. Spiritual maturity. And so we are spiritual. The third chair is about spiritual maturity. To see the third chair, they understand. See, immature spiritual people say, I'm not getting any food. I'm not getting fed. Nobody's feeding me. It wasn't too long ago that if every one of my kids, I can tell you the same story. It happens every time. I come home. Their mom's been a long day. I've been a long day. And we come in. And they're like, did you bring me home anything to eat? No. I'm starving. I haven't ate all day. No one's feeding me. And I'll walk over and be like, all right, big boy. That's called a refrigerator. That's called a cabinet. Open it up. Make yourself a sandwich. Open this up. Put it in the microwave. If that doesn't do it, pour you a bowl of cereal with some milk. Do something, but learn to feed yourself. I'm your daddy, but I'm not your cook all your life. Learn how to feed yourself. Any parents can relate to that conversation with your teens. We all have it, right? At some point, you just say, at some point, learn to feed yourself. And when you come home, and you're like, did you have anything to eat? Yeah, I found something in the fridge. I fixed it and fed it, and I fed my younger brother and sister. You're like, oh, yeah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My kids have learned to feed themselves. It's awesome. See, the spiritually immature says, feed me. Feed me. I'm not getting fed. See, we have got to learn at some point that my job is to learn to feed myself. We come from the corporate table and eat on a Sunday and have a corporate meal together as a family, get inspired, get instructed, get challenged, celebrate the Lord together. But if this is the only time you're eating, you're going to be spiritually malnourished. You're not going to have, you're going to have hunger pains, man. You're not going to have the nourishment you need to sustain you throughout the week until you learn how to open up the word of the Lord for yourself. There's a lot of great Christian books and authors out there. And somebody has some good things to say. There's also a lot of quacks out there as well. But let me tell you one thing you don't have to worry about, that every word written in here comes from the God. It comes inspired by the Holy Spirit, and this will give us life. This will feed me. This is clean eating right here. I've got to learn how to open up the Bible and just eat. It doesn't have to be a big meal. Just open up, man. Open up and eat and feed yourself. That's spiritual maturity right there. I learned how to feed myself because you're depending on me to feed you every single time. You're not going to have the strength to make it throughout the week. Well, he didn't fix what I wanted. I'm going to go over here. I'm going over here to this house. My friend's mom, she always cooks what he wants. And they don't have a curfew. And they can be on social media anytime they want to be on social media. And they can do this and they can do... Her mom has to wear anything she wants to wear, so I'm going to go move in with my friend. That's how we look. See, that's how we look when we say that. Feed me, I'm not getting fed. No, learn to feed yourself and grow into spiritual maturity as well. We see this happening, that we are called to do this. See, the spiritual mature have learned to feed themselves. They learn the cost, they count the cost. Where do you learn to eat at? In the house, right? Parents teach you how to eat in the house. Where do you learn how to crawl? In the house. Where do you learn how to walk? In the house. Where do you learn how to run? In the house. Where do you learn how not to run in the house? In the house. Where do you learn how to talk? In the house. See, it's important. We come to the house of the Lord. We come to the table. And we experience life together. One chair that we will always have at Destiny. We'll always have the chair that takes care of the person who's hurting. We'll always have the chair at Destiny open for the person who's spiritually wounded, for the person who maybe has been spiritually hurt, emotionally wounded. And sometimes these people, they need help. And sometimes you got to spiritually push them along and help them get to the table. and we'll always be a place. We'll always be a spiritual hospital. The hospital's for the people who are sick, not the people who are well. Unless you're working there, right? And so we'll always have that chair open as well. We'll always have a chair open for those that are hurting. But let me tell you, there's also the chair, that wheelchair that I was just pushing. We have the open chair. We have the new believer chair. We have the spiritual maturity chair. But there's one chair you'll never see us put out at Destiny Church. And it's the high chair. Some of you are laughing right now. I know. See, the high chair. We will always have an open chair for baby Christians. Hear me very clearly. We will always have an open chair for baby Christians. But we'll never have an open chair for Christians that act like babies. Love me? Okay. Christians that act like babies. Feed me! Feed me! That's mine! You guys go to a poo-poo head. I am in the charge here. It's a high chair. It's all about me. All about me. You're not singing my music. You don't dress the way I want. Oh, I wish you had this. Oh, I wish you had that. I'm leaving if you don't. I can tell you early on, we had a lot of those people come through the church. As you're starting the church and people come and checking you out, they're like, oh, I like you, but. And they climb up in this high chair. And I'm like, really? See, this is what I love about who we have now at Destiny. Because you guys understand that spiritual maturity means you're looking out for the new believer. You're looking out for the seeker. You're also looking out the parent, spiritual parent. You're behind us and helping us reach people for Jesus. And we don't see people who are sitting in a spiritual high chair. Oh, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. I'll leave. And this is why pastors make the mistake. They don't say, oh, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Oh, God, don't leave me. You're a good giver, so don't leave. You write a good check to the church, so don't leave. Oh, don't leave, because you'll influence somebody else to leave. And, oh, I don't want to lose two families. Oh. And so we come over here and we give them the pacifier, do what we need to do to satisfy them. And then we turn our back, see? We turn our back to the open chair and to the rest of the believers at the table. We tell our community to go to hell, and we spend all our time taking care of Christians acting like babies. I love the fact that you guys understand. And you guys are understanding. So I hope you're catching the DNA. And, you know, there's been a lot of people who come and go early on. And I was like, God bless you, you know. There's lots of places you can have that at. Go to it. It's not easy sometimes. Sometimes you're like, inside you're like, don't leave. But I know that who God has called Destiny Church to be, that we got to have believers who understand what we're trying to do. And we're trying to reach people. People who would never hear a spirit-filled message will come to Destiny and receive it. People who never receive a message. We got several husbands sitting here in this room now. You never went to the church of your wife ever before. You're coming now. Why? Because you're receiving the food that's being served to you. It's touching your heart. You're receiving something for the first time. Some of you never gone to church consistently with your mom and dad. You are now because you're being something's grabbing at your heart. You understand that. And as mature believers, we understand our job is to go full circle, okay? So as musicians come, this is our job. Our job is to go from the seeker, surrender our life to Jesus. We go to the new believer's chair, where we grow up, begin to learn how to feed ourselves, begin to learn how to grow, learn how to serve. And then when we do that, we move over to spiritual maturity, where then we start looking out for those who are in that chair, and we're helping nurture them, protect them, support them, encourage them. And then we come full circle. See, the full circle, the mature believer then comes and gets his plate and steps out beyond the table and offers up samples of God's love to those who have never been to the table. It's full circle. See? I want to serve those who have never been to the Lord's table. I want to serve those who have never been to the table of the Lord. I just don't want to be a church full of Christians. I want to be a church who's reaching the unchurched. Are you with me on this? Amen. If you're with me, stand with me on this. I know you are. The DNA, this is who we are. This is who God's called us to be. Learning to feed ourselves, learning to support and look after our kids, and take the samples out there and give it away to other people. This week is a big week, guys. Man, people are hungry, and they'll take the samples like never before this week. Let's see God do amazing things. I want you to join me in prayer this week that God would fill this place, standing room only, three services packed, and we'll see a record number of people accept and surrender their life to Jesus Christ this weekend. How many say, Pastor Gene, we're going to do it, man. We're going to invite as many as possible. Are you with me on this? Okay. Come on. Let's close out with this song. Let's make it personal. Set a fire in my heart, Lord.
Come on. If you know this song, help me sing it out this morning. It simply says, set a fire. Come on. We're going to lift it up in this place. Come on, sing.
Set a fire now.
Destiny Church is full of people who have moving chairs, and they've come in as seekers, and they've learned to surrender their chair over to you, and they've made those steps to going from a seeker to the new Christian chair. And we have other people who have made the step of going from the new Christian chair to spiritual maturity, and they're learning to surrender. And I just pray that, Father, in the DNA of who we are, first of all, we honor you. You're always welcome. Holy Spirit, we always put your throne. We always keep your chair number one. Always looking to honor the Holy Spirit. Always looking to honor our Father. But God, we also always keep in mind a heart to reach people and to bring them to the table, to bring them to the Lord's table. And I thank you, God, that you're raising up spiritual parents in this room. Even right now, God, the light's going off in the spirit of many people about stepping up, looking after the young Christians around them, and being an encouragement, being a support to them, protecting them, and then us learning to go full circle and take from the Lord's table that we're eating and take the samples out and to give it away. We say yes. God, we will be a church that welcomes people, that loves people, people who are great and people who are far from great, people who have blown it and people who are the biggest outcasts in society. God, bring us those people. God, the people that everybody else rejects. God, send them. God, we'll love them into the kingdom of God. God, I pray that, God, right now, you will give us a heart for the harvest. You will give us a heart for the harvest. That, God, we would be people who see with kingdom eyes, with kingdom maturity. We see the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap. Amen. All right. Hey, it's going to be a full week. A lot going on here at Destiny as we get ready for the big weekend. They're going to be passing out the invitations. If you need more, stop by the Welcome Center. They can give you some more back there as well. God bless you. We love you. You guys have a great, great weekend.